My name is Paola Tester. I'm conducting this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another project by Anthony Gormley in Trafalgar Square. The date is the 11th of August 2009 and the time is 9:20 a.m. Please could you tell me your name, your date of birth and where you're from?
Hiya, my name is Yan Wong. My full name's Ho Yan Wong, actually. I am from, well, I was born in University College Hospital in London, which is not very far from here, but currently I live in Oxford, although I have lived near Leeds as well. And my date of birth, 30th of April 1974.
How are you feeling about going on the fourth loop this morning?
Fine, actually, yeah, be quite fun. I mean, it's been a bit of a hectic time trying to prepare stuff just because lots of other things have been going on at the same time. So I feel completely unprepared, but, well, not completely, but pretty unprepared. But on the other hand, I think I approach life in a pretty unprepared manner as well. So that's fine.
Is it just part of your nature?
Yes, I think it probably is. I'm quite like just winging it, actually.
How did you hear about the project?
Someone told me about it because they I am a scientist, but I currently work as a TV presenter, and someone in the BBC office told me, oh, this you'd be really good if you went up on there, because A, it would be quite good publicity for our new show, but also, you know, it's just a fun thing to do. And so I said, oh yeah, that sounds quite fun, because I like doing random things. And I never quite got round to filling out the application form until she actually did it for me. And then it was like, yeah, no, I really intended to. And then I didn't think obviously anything would come of it, and magic, one chance in five or something, is it like that? One in six? I don't know how many people have. I think it's, as far as I read, it was 12,000 people, and there's been about 2,500 places, so.
I was going to ask what your inspiration was for applying, but had someone else applied for you?
Well, yeah, I mean, indeed. I mean, I was intending to apply. I had the web page open, and then other things got in the way. So I'm very glad that someone else filled it out for me.
So when you were told that someone else had filled it out, you didn't, it wasn't a bad
thing? No, I was going to, and she knew I was going to, but she knew that I probably would forget to do so. So she kindly did so on my behalf.
When you heard you had a place, what happened?
I emailed her, actually, and other people, and it was like, oh, that's really good. That was just rather pleasing somehow. It's like, not quite like winning the lottery, is it? But it's always better in a way, because, you know, what's money after all compared to a stint on the plinth? Or at least doing something that you wouldn't otherwise have a chance of doing. I think that's how I approach life in general, that money's not important. What's important is the stuff you do. And this is a chance to do something that most other people won't ever get a chance of doing. Brilliant.
And can you tell us exactly what you will be doing for the hour?
Well, I have this persona. It's not, obviously I can't actually do this, but of being able to answer any question, or at least being able to talk about in an informed way about a lot of different things that people might want to ask me about, science based mostly. Although science is such a broad word, I think people take it to mean the wrong sort of thing. I take it to mean everything in the world around you, which is, you know, if you ask questions about that, you're asking questions about pretty much anything there is. So so I would quite like people to ask me questions so that we can get some sort of discussion going about the underlying causes and explanations and knowledge that one might bring to bear on any particular question. So hopefully I'll do that, but I've got some little demos as well to get people talking, I guess. Whether or not there'll be anyone there to get talking is, I guess, in the lap of fate.
And what will you be using to invite people to ask questions?
Well, I have some friends on the ground, so hopefully they'll be getting people to think about questions they might ask. I've got some helium balloons. There's nice things you can do with helium balloons, obviously, as well as just breathing it in, which, you know, you're supposedly not advised to do, but it's quite interesting. Do you know, you probably don't know why helium doesn't make your voice go higher, just makes it go squeaky, because it doesn't change the pitch. Anyway, there's all sorts of explanations like that. Of anything I do up there pretty much has an interesting explanation behind it, because the world is an interesting place. And so I've got some bubbles just because they're fun and they'll float around the place. I've got some soft things to throw off to show people about terminal velocity and whether heavy objects fall faster than light ones and all that sort of stuff. What else have I got? I had intended to bring some amusing protective goo stuff that you can wrap things in and drop off and they don't, nothing breaks in it. But I think I may have forgotten that. What else? There must be some other things, but I can't remember. I guess just stimulate conversation by looking at the world around you, and the world around you is all there. So.
And where did the idea come from?
For
what you're doing in the film?
Oh, it was an idea that was intended to try out on television. You know, get people on camera to ask me questions and I'll try and give them scientific answers to their questions. It didn't quite come off like that, but I think the idea is pretty sound nevertheless. And it's quite nice just to chat to people. I really like talking to people. So, you know, it's a good chance to speak to people. The only problem is obviously you're on top of a plinth and it's not entirely obvious how you speak to people on the ground, but it's nearer the ground than most people think. So, so it should be okay, I think. Wing it and see.
Will you just be shouting
up and down? We intended to get hold of a amplifier system, but we haven't. So, yes. I actually wanted to do some speaking tubes as well, but again, we're just so disorganised that we didn't get that sorted out in time.
And what happens if you're not sure of the answer?
Oh, well, I mean, that's part of the part and parcel of the process, isn't it? I mean, obviously, I'm not an expert in everything. I'm only an expert in a very, very small area of science. And so, in a way, I don't want to be providing a single answer. I want to be having a discussion with someone. And then together, hopefully, you sort of work out what's a satisfying explanation. Or if it's known, there are lots of things I don't know the answer to, obviously.
And this idea, then, it's related to the TV program?
Yeah, I guess so. That's why I'm wearing a Bang Goes the Theory t-shirt, and the people outside are from the production team in the BBC and stuff like that. So, yeah, it's effectively related to that. Although, to be honest, even if I wasn't anything to do with this particular programme and I'd still been doing just normal science, I would have quite liked the opportunity to go on the plinth. So if someone had mentioned it to me, I'd probably have put my name forward if I'd remembered to anyway. So, yeah.
Could you tell me a bit about your background as a scientist and how you came to be involved in a TV programme?
Yeah, so I'm a biologist, I'm an evolutionary biologist. That was the subject I really liked doing at school because I had some inspirational biology teachers. I did quite well at university and went on to do a PhD. I was the student of a reasonably famous biologist called Richard Dawkins. After I did my PhD, I was looking around for things to do, and he had a book he needed help with writing, so I helped him with that for a bit. I found a lecturing position in Leeds University, and then my wife had a small child, and she wanted to go and do medicine, so I resigned from my position to look after the child, because I thought it's my turn to do some domestic responsibility. But I still have the science thing and I still had some collaborations going. And since I had this spare time, someone suggested I might try for this TV presenting thing. And I think, like the plinth indeed, my general attitude is try out what you can. And so I put my name forward and somehow managed to get through all the selection procedures one way or the other without ever really intending to be on television. And here I am occasionally on television.
And how long has that been in the pipeline?
Oh, well, there's only been three shows broadcast so far, because they're Monday nights and they've just been the last three Monday nights. The interview procedure and all that sort of stuff was around March, April time, I think. So a couple of months, I guess. Well, a number of months, 6 months maybe in maximum.
And how much time had you had out of
out of academia before that. Must have been since the September before that, I guess. Something like that. So probably, I've probably been out of academia now for, no, more like 2 years actually. Sorry, I lie. I stopped working in Leeds when my daughter was 4 or 5 months old, and now she's 2 and 2 months, so almost 2 years.
And how have you found the last couple of years? And that's quite a lot of changes.
It is quite a lot of changes. I like changes. Change is good. I enjoy looking after my little daughter. And I enjoy talking to people a lot. And you do get the opportunity to do that when you're a parent, obviously. And, you know, I try and organise parental activities, and I get involved in, I know most of our neighbours and that sort of thing. So it's nice. It, you know, it gives you an opportunity to talk to people. It's nice.
And have you enjoyed that change then from being in academia?
Yeah, to some extent. I mean, I would like to do more research science work, and so I need to make sure I don't lose sight of that. But yes, yeah, it's nice.
And what do you think the future holds with the TV programme?
I guess it depends a little bit on how successful it is, but I suck it and see, you know. Wait and see, take life as it comes.
And have you ever done anything like that before?
No. So... Try out what's available and see what happens.
So what impact would you like to have by going up on the plinth and doing what you've chosen to do?
What impact would I like to have? Well, I don't know if you have very much of an impact, only obviously on mostly on the people who are going past, and that's only a very small number of people. But in general, you'd like to have an impact of getting people to think a bit more about the world around them and how things work. And just be excited about the world around them. It's a fun place to be in. I quite often say this in interviews, that as adults we lose that childlike enthusiasm about the world around us, and I see my job as trying to bring it back.
And what would you like to take away for yourself from the experience?
Just, I guess everyone takes away their memories, don't they? And it's a memory, like I said, that very few other people, 2,500 other people in the UK are going to have, in the world, in fact, are going to have. And so hopefully you take away those memories with you, and it's something you won't have done before. So,
do you have any expectations about how it will go up there?
No, not really. Again, just wait and see, I guess. I hope some interested passers-by get something out of it too. So,
do you have any hopes or fears about how it will go?
No, I guess I hope I won't fall off too drastically. I hope that there'll be some people who are going to ask me some questions. I hope that I'll be able to actually talk to them over the noise of the traffic and not having an amplifier system and all that sort of stuff. But I guess just wait and see.
Have you participated in arts projects
before? Things like amateur dramatics, I guess. You could call that arts projects. I do occasionally go to art exhibitions and stuff like that, but no, nothing like this.
And were you aware of Gormley's work before
this? I had heard of him. It turns out that actually my mother taught French to his daughter, but I found out. But you know the way these things go, so many degrees of separation. So I had heard of him, but I didn't know much about his work.
Well, what does it mean to you to be a part of the project in one of 2,100 people going up?
Nothing in particular, really. I mean, I quite like this fact that this is being interviewed now, actually. It's nice to have things preserved for posterity like that. To be part of it, I mean, obviously in a funny situation that most people aren't in that soon, I mean, I'm not used to it, but now and soon my face is sort of not quite all over the place, but it is going to be reasonably well known in the public. So although I'm not really a public figure, I'm probably more of a public figure than most people up there. So I think the attention on me and the plinth is probably much less than the attention on me when I'd be on television, I guess. But it's all new to me, to be honest. So.
And to help us understand a bit more about you as a person, would you mind telling us what things are important to you in your life at the moment? All these changes?
Yeah, sure. What's important to me in my life at the moment? Well, obviously science is important. This is what I'm sort of the root of what I'm doing. I think talking to people is important, and enthusing people and just finding stuff out by talking to people. My family is obviously important, as it is to most people, and I enjoy doing family stuff as well. It's important to think. I think that summarizes it all, really. And be happy.
Have you got people here with you?
I have, yes. There's a couple of people from the production office. My wife and my little daughter can't be here because she's working today, and my daughter's at nursery. But, you know, that's okay.
Do you think you'll go back and watch online afterwards?
Yes, I probably will. Just to see how it went. I guess maybe if I was a more seasoned TV person, I wouldn't watch myself online so much. But since I'm new to it all, it's all a bit like, ooh, I wonder what I'm like.
And when you had to put your profile up on the website, you will have put three words that describe you.
Oh yes, I can't remember at all what I wrote. Perhaps you have it written down somewhere.
How would you describe yourself now? You're not limited to three words.
Yeah, well, three words is quite nice, isn't it? It's nice to restrict yourself somewhat like that. I put something like enthusiastic, inquisitive and bouncy or something like that, or I don't know. I think, yeah, enthusiasm's good. Some sort of interest and in the world around you, that sort of excitement of finding things out and knowing stuff and trying to explain things, that's something that captures that. And again, I'm quite a sort of active person generally, so something that would capture that, I guess.
And how would you summarize your experience of the project since you've first heard that you had a place?
Oh, it's very good. Yeah. It's the people, especially the people here, are very in this porter cabin which has been set up next to the plinth for welcoming people. They've been very, very nice. I have had more phone calls than I imagined, but I think that's because they lost track of my records or something somewhere, but that's fine. Yeah, positive. It's good. People are friendly. That's the important thing, isn't it? Want to chat.
And coming up to 20 minutes before going up, are you feeling
okay? Now that you say it, actually, it does make your stomach think, woo! But yeah, I'm fine. I'm feeling fine. Yeah, I should go to the loo before going up.
Well, have a good hour.
Thank you very much indeed.